CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Wednesday morning. It's the 20th of October already. We are just flying to the end of the year now. It's ridiculous. You got November. You got a little bit of this month left. December is a big blur, and then before you know it, it's Christmas and New Year. And I love saying this because some people lose their shit. They're like, oh, there's no time. What are we going to do? Some people are already thinking about Christmas shopping. Some people are already thinking about their holidays. Now, be honest, are you? Because you've got such limited time now. Seriously, if you're gonna do a December holiday and you don't make a decision in the next week and a half, you are finished. You're out. You're on your own. Okay, let's get cracking. It's a good Wednesday morning, and it's especially good this morning. We have Bulelo, and we've got Alan Ford back. Hey, Al.
Morning, Gareth. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, nice to see you. The last time we spoke to you was about that Hope tour that you were doing around the country with sponsors of Brave, and you guys were going around. You were going around helping people feel a little bit better, especially people who've been trapped in hospitals and people who haven't really had contact with anybody over the last 2 years. It's such a nice idea. You seem like such a nice guy when you do all that stuff.
Oh, I'm such a nice guy. Such a good.
Yeah, exactly. What a nice guy.
You know what? It's a good initiative. The whole thing is, and it was phenomenal to go to places like Durban and the various hospitals, the government hospitals, the private hospitals.
Yeah.
You know, people are people, and that's how we looked at it. So thank goodness we had a very, very successful run, or should we say bus. And all in all, you know, the music was great. The camaraderie was excellent, and hundreds of nurses and doctors came to the streets or to the parking lots of the hospital. And you had the likes of Vicky Sampson performing and Craig O'Barney. And, you know, I love the musical theatre world. So it was lovely to have some of those people.
Those people have had nothing to do for 2 years.
It's really sad. And, you know, Gareth, you think of someone like Vicky Sampson, who is a South African superstar. Her last gig before this one was in November.
Oh, my God. Poor woman.
And I mean, if you think about it, her song African Dream's got to be one of the most popular South African songs of all time. And to think an artist like that and that caliber and a cabaret singer and last had a job in November, 10 months ago. Kind of crazy.
Does Vicky still crank out African Dream? Do you get her to sing that?
Oh, we cranked her. She cranked it everywhere. She was African Dreaming it. She was, her and there was a top performer called Lelo from The Voice, Ratamane. And Lelo and Vicky did the first time that she'd ever been done as a duet at the end, which was just great. So it was just, it was a bit of a new version and new take. But when they hit those whoa, 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 and I drove Vicky mad because I kept singing to it on the bus.
She must hate that song. Yeah, like, for example, I mean, I remember Billy Joel hates playing Piano Man. I mean, he's been doing that much longer than Vicky Sampson's been doing African Dream. But he hates it. So when people request that song, he goes, inside, even though he does it because people love it, right?
Well, there was an interesting story. So I asked her this question, actually. And I said, Vicky, have you, have people ever said to you, did you sing it too much? And she said, you know, she was sitting in the audience once. Actually, Gareth, I think you were in the audience. Let me tell you what happened. It was around about, I think, the finale of Idols, one of the Idols in the beginning stages, maybe the first 5, 8 years. How many years are there? 5,000 years.
God,
this thing's still going on.
So many. It's a bit boring now. Yeah, who's even paying attention?
I'm sorry, but I'm bored now. Yeah. No one's watching it. It's really ridiculous. It's a bit stupid. But I don't get it. I don't understand how you keep going on for 25 years.
All right. Calm down. You're being you're very aggressive for this time in the morning. All right.
Okay, I'm just making a statement. But now think of this concept. So she was one of your fellow judges, Randall, had one of the girls sang African Dream, and he said how much she hated hearing that song, and it's so bored of that song. And then next thing, Colin Moss, who was the presenter at the time, said, oh, well, on that note, my next link is to the singer of African Dream, Vicky Sampson, who was in the audience. He ripped the song to
shreds. Randall wouldn't have cared.
So
he would have been like
so
that.
He, Yeah, he didn't care, but insulted her, so she can't stand him.
Of course she can't stand him. You know, there are a lot of people, like, there are these enmities that flow deep down in South African entertainment. There are a couple of people who really don't like me, I suppose. There are a couple of people who really don't like you. It's hilarious, though, to me.
I get it. I get it, Gareth. You heard the song 400 times, you say it out.
Yeah, sure.
But you don't mean to insult the person sitting right behind you.
Well, in Randall's case, he probably did mean to insult her. You know what he's like.
Yeah, he probably saw her at the door. He probably bought her a coffee.
Anyway, listen, we got a lot to catch up on. We will be talking later on to Elle about something. You know, it's Mental Health Month. And really, this month is for everybody. We've been talking a lot about mental health with Dr. Hanan Bushkin every Monday, and he's just terrific. People love him. We've been solving people's problems. We've been helping them deal with conflict resolution, helping them to understand the basic conditions that so many people live under, anxiety, depression, even the more complicated ones like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. And there are some real things that people are dealing with in Mental Health Month. And I know it's become a bit like, ooh, you know, it's the cool vogue thing at the moment to claim that you've got some mental health condition or to talk about it like you know anything about it. But the real experts are the psychiatrists. And I know a lot of people have been asking about this. So we have probably the foremost psychiatrist in the country who's going to be doing a series of podcasts with us. And we will interview him a little bit later on this morning because Alan's going to be working with him and with Adcock Ingram, which is just terrific. It's going to be a show for psychiatrists, but anyone can listen in. And it's a professor called Christopher Szabo, who's really an amazing man. And I had the pleasure of sitting with him and talking to him about the idea that that this podcast is going to embody. And we'll talk to the prof and we'll talk to Elle a little bit later on about that. But first, get into your life a little bit. You've had since we last had you on the show, just in the context of Alan Ford, your life has got pretty exciting. You've been to rehab. You've taken on a whole lot of new jobs. You're doing all kinds of interesting things. I don't know if you've had relationships or not that you want to talk to us about. What's been going on? Give us an Alan Ford update.
So let me tell you, Gareth, we're talking Mental Health Month. So COVID was a bit of an interesting period. I decided to take drinking to a little bit of an extreme.
How extreme? Because a lot of us worry that maybe we have a drinking problem. Were you drinking every day and every night?
Well, I want to tell you something. It wasn't every day. I never drank in the day. So this is what makes you think you're not an alcoholic, and then you find that you actually are an alcoholic. But I never drank Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But I would start Thursday night, and Thursday night I would be four, and I would drink to fall over drunk stage. So I would, for example, let's say during lockdown it was difficult, but if I've been doing this for years, go out, have a few drinks, have a few tequilas, come home, crack open a bottle of vodka, finish the bottle, sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning. So it was interesting. I always thought I never had a problem because I never drank in the morning and I never drank every day. Meantime, I was drinking in the morning, only 3 o'clock in the morning, not at 10.
Right.
You see. Oh, and then, my life became unmanageable. Actually, I started to hate drinking. I loved it, but I hated it. So it was always that stage where you snort and try in the end. And I never harmed anyone else, except for sending some stupid texts often, which is really a dumb thing to do.
And embarrassing. And embarrassing the next day.
And embarrass yourself, But I realized that I was not managing and coping with drinking. So I, in a very hungover, but maybe slightly drunk Friday morning, decided to take myself off to rehab. And I got to a well-known rehab in Johannesburg. They call it almost like the Michael House of rehabs, called Houghton House. And I went there.
Oh, so then it's not very good.
No, we had to go to the fancy point taken. They were good, but I must say. So I walked in there, went for an assessment, still drunk out of my mind, crying, all that stuff. And then they said, we have a spot coming to rehab. Okay. So I went through the gates from the top area down to the bottom area to the medical area to go get checked out. And here's the thing. I said, no, this is a malhouse. I'm not one of these people. Let me leave. So I started walking out, to which my family said, walk straight back in.
Oh, really?
And they sort yourself out.
Oh, really?
At that point, because they came to drop my bag off.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I just arrived there. But here's the thing, is that I really spent the first 2 days crying, thinking I'm not one of these people. And I must tell you, liquid junkies think they're elitists. We think we're better than other people. Actually, there are people that think they're better than us. So I thought I'm better than alcoholics because I didn't drink every day, but I am an alcoholic because I'm unmanageable and there's powerlessness in my drinking and in the habit.
Yeah.
And in the addiction, because it's a disease, of course. It's a mental health disease, by the way, as we know.
Yeah.
But it's so funny. I'll make you laugh because people think they're better than other people in this scenario.
Oh, yeah.
So, for example, if we drink too much, if you're an alcoholic, you think you're better than the Dacha people. And then the Dacha people think they're better than the cocaine people. The cocaine are the Beverly Hills of the junkies. They are much better than the crystal meth heads, who are much better than the tick heads. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So and then the tick heads are much better than the heroin addicts. And then basically the people that think they're the best are the people on over-the-counter medicine, the people that are on all the
But that's because those people, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's also because those people think, well, I'm not really on drugs. I had these prescribed. I'm not a filthy, dirty drug addict who gets my drugs on the street. I get them from my chemist.
And that's so stupid because the fact of the matter is they are just as bad. And the whole thing is it works on, and then you have to do the 12-step program. I thought I didn't have a problem until I realized when I was speaking to a lady called Tina and another lady. I was talking to some ladies because they're like some people in their 50s and 60s there. And you go, wow, they're actually and top doctors and top accountants and top people, top well-known people. Even a minister in one of the African governments was there with us.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Correct. Very interesting. And so it's anyone can have a problem with addiction, as you know. By the way, the best people that the whole place that think they shouldn't be there at all is the sex addicts, but we'll come to them later in the show. Those are the interesting. Because how do you judge how you're addicted to sex? That's another story. But the interesting thing is that you realize you're all the same. You're all on the same basis. And when I was sort of speaking about some of the high hit bottles.
Yeah.
I realized, maybe I definitely have to be.
You hid, so after the first, you hid bottles around your house so that you could drink.
Yeah, and how you get rid of them? How you dispose of bottles? Because you don't want family to see.
Oh wow!
You're embarrassed.
Huh?
So you live with your family?
I was during lockdown staying with my family, but not only that. Hotels. I used to stay at a popular hotel in Cape Town, and I knew the staff. It was a boutique hotel, and. How I used to smuggle the bottles out of the place to get rid of them. So I would.
How long were you in rehab, Alan?
30 days, and then I'm still in the program because you go for 3 months. I went to actually for 4 months of three times a week in what they call aftercare, and then I'm in recovery maintenance now, which is once a week for 2 hours a week. But you still got to have meetings. You have a sponsor, all that type of stuff. But it was crazy. It was mom.
I have a question.
Because, literally, mom.
Were you addicted to the substance or to the escapism?
I think your escapism leads you to be addicted to the substance because you want. So they work hand in hand. One draws you in, and the other one holds you in. But you must understand. I also had fun drinking. It was drinking. We think it's perfect because we go out, we have a draw. We have a tequila. We have so drinking. You think is fun, and it's nice to be drunk. I love being drunk.
And South Africans,
not fought over.
South Africans love drinking because it's the only socially acceptable thing that we can do. We're encouraged, you know, to think of everything else as being really bad for us. But it seems drinking has just escaped that judgment. South Africans are cool with drinking. Well, we go to drinking establishments when we want to have fun. We drink publicly with each other. There's no shame attached to drinking.
In fact, we don't know how to socialize without alcohol.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
and I battled with that. That was hard for me because I'm used to, and the industry we're in Gareth, and I mean, you both will know this. We would go to Sun City, for example, invited by Sun International, and that we would just drink whatever we wanted, and we were spoiled that way. And every function, you're plied with liquor. And then I come from a Lebanese family, and of course, you know, there's nothing like. Exactly, you know. And we're having, and each Jewish wedding or Lebanese wedding or Greek wedding, you're drinking and drinking and you're having a big party. Sure. And ultimately, it's I came from that culture. I didn't come from a home of drinking. My parents didn't drink. But I mean, Gareth, you knew that since we were in our 20s, I have plowed down and loved drinking and loved getting drunk.
You hit it quite hard, but I'm always wondering where the line is, you know, whether you need to think of yourself as having a problem or not.
Well, are you unmanaging? Is your life becoming slightly unmanageable? And you know if you're doing something. If you're hiding bottles, you've got a problem.
And also if you're hurting people, if you're
And if people are telling you, if people say around you, listen, hey, you're sending stupid texts, you're doing something. If you do it once every 5 years, I get it if you're passing out.
Sure.
But if you're passing out 4 times a week, you've got a problem.
Oof.
And
you must have felt horrendous. I mean, if you're drinking like to pass out drunk, you must have felt so shit. I mean,
you lie to yourself. You say to yourself,
but you know, I'm sorry. You wake up in the morning and you've got a hangover on a Thursday. Yes, no, that's not funny.
Well, you know, but that's the thing is that I usually wait till Fridays. So I would take the Friday off or I'd be in Cape Town.
Oh, yeah.
But I lied to myself. I used to say, I don't suffer from hangovers. Of course you suffer from it. You were hungover all the time.
Yeah, correct. You forgot what it felt like to not have a hangover.
To not have a hangover. So it was a very interesting experience. A lot of hard work. It's still very challenging. You're on that edge always.
So are you one of those people who has to say you are a recovering alcoholic? Is that what you have to say to people now?
Word addict. What you have to do is keep the barbarians at, you've got to keep the barbarians at the gate for the rest of your life. You've got to constantly.
Yeah, sorry.
So do you see it that way or do you?
I missed that.
For the rest of my life.
You have to keep saying that to people now. And did you have to go to meetings? And how did you actually beat this thing? Did you do all the 12-step program shit, all that normal?
I'm on one of the steps still, so I'm in the middle of the program. I'm on step 6. And then I'll probably – because there are a couple of pillars to this thing. Mm. So that you've got to have your meetings. You've got to have your sponsor. You've got to do your service. You've got to do your step work. You keep this – this is for the rest of your life.
So,
you
know,
I
had this conversation with a friend of mine over the weekend in Durban. She was telling me about a relative of hers who's an alcoholic. They can't even have alcohol in the house because he's triggered by it. So you're not allowed to you've got to stay away from drinking in every way, shape, and form now. You're not allowed to even have a drink.
So never. Off-bounds.
Okay, this
forever.
Is very serious. I thought you were just, trying out the rehab because you thought you had a problem, but you'd go back to your old life and just monitor and modify your drinking habits. You can't do it ever again.
It's a life of sobriety. Never happen again. You know.
Oh, my God. Okay. Wow, that's pretty pretty hectic. What am I going to do if I see you in public now? I don't have a drink with you.
Oh, we're going to have to drink cold drink.
All right.
But well, you know what?
You can still have your gin, by the
you
way.
You can drink. I don't mind. This doesn't affect me.
Well, I didn't mean to cast aspersions on you. There, it is a little fruity. Alan, I mean, do you drink gin? It is a bit like I know we live in a world where you can't say it.
He didn't land it. He didn't land the joke.
Are there people you have to forgive and all that kind of shit too?
You've got to go through all that type of stuff. So step 4, you've got to forgive. You've got to ask for forgiveness. You've got to ask to people that you've wronged. And, you know, I've had relationships where drinking has been the base of a lot of the problems.
Yeah.
And you see that now. No one wants to see it when you're in it. No one wants to see that they've got a problem. No one wants to see. But the fact of the matter is, I know so many of my friends and family and relatives that have a problem and don't know they have a problem. I didn't know I had a problem because I never drank every day. And I thought, well, it's normal. It's not normal. It is not normal to pass out drunk. It's if I had 4 chocolate cakes in front of me, and ate them all, you're going to go, this person's got an issue. You can't eat four cakes.
Bulela will shoot you right there.
Oh, you shouldn't be eating cake at all. Let's be very clear, Alan. You shouldn't be eating cake at all.
That's the problem. That's the problem. The rehabs are there. I put on weight because I've been eating shit. So that's a whole other story. So, Jeeves, this is life.
All right.
Whew. Hey, one step at a time.
I'm on step six, so let's get to step six.
I see Bulela wants to talk about the elections. There's no way we're talking about that today. Tomorrow we've got the burning platform. We've got Pumi. We're going to talk a little bit about something I saw on the highway yesterday, which made me laugh, even though I was stuck in some traffic for a while. You just got to remind me tomorrow when we talk to Pumi. But this morning, no politics. What I do want to talk about is you were in rehab, but you've also had some adventures. Now, famously, we've told the story a couple of times on the show of you going out and trying to find a hooker to be on my show when you were my producer years ago.
Oh, I tell you, the hookers.
What is it with you and hookers? There's always something going on with Alan Ford and hookers. And you, it's not like...
Okay, I didn't have a sex addiction.
You what?
Stop hanging out on Oxford Street at 2 in the morning then, Alan.
You don't have to go to Oxford Street. Come to my street.
What?
Come to my road here by my road.
So hang on. You...
Nothing.
So you you had hookers outside your bedroom window. Just
let me explain this to you. So I'm saying, now listen, I've got to tell you about the hookers, me and the hookers. Okay, so I've always said, let us have respect for people. Don't judge.
Yeah, sex workers people. have their dignity in whatever way,
have their place in some way. And they've always been in society, so I'm not going to judge people. But I've got a problem because, you see, my apartment building is on West Road South, right next to the Morningside Shopping Centre, where that circle is. You know where that circle by the Morningside Clinic, not...
Okay, I know where
And so there's a top restaurant down the road here.
Yes.
And a big apartment building.
Yes.
And this now has become the Oxford Street. So they don't stand in Rivonia Road anymore. They're standing on this up one block up. And they stay and they are on my corner. Right, I'm on the first floor and I can hear them right outside my window. And there are three of them that stand there on that corner every night.
Yeah.
Firstly, I couldn't understand what this jibber jabber was.
This racket.
Every night I heard this racket. Exactly, a big racket. And I kept thinking that neighbors are making a noise, just moved into this new apartment building. It's really probably one of the nicest addresses in South Africa. So, you know, you don't expect these things. And I had to go. And about 10 days later, I kept hearing this racket, this noise, this talking. And strange times,
at
you know,
what, because what time? What time is this? Because we had curfew.
We're talking 2 o'clock in the morning. Eh?
Oh my God! So
we're
don't
talking
care.
2 o'clock.
They don't care about curfew.
So that's what aggravated me. So I wanted to go to my local police station to say, I don't understand. Why is it that everybody, the waiters, the only people that are not keeping to the curfew are the hookers? Seriously, even the beggars are off the streets by 9 o'clock. So now lockdown's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. This lockdown and this street is not happening here. These hookers love to have, they are, and who are they? Who's visiting them? I want to know. Are the doctors? Because who's allowed on the street? Who's allowed in the road? Everyone's in the house.
Yeah.
So how is it possible?
Where's the business coming from?
Where is the business? But obviously the business hasn't been great because they're still sitting on this corner talking. You know, so I decided, now hold on, I can't do this anymore. After 2 weeks of, so I decided to go talk to the hookers.
Yeah.
So firstly I thought, well, let me take some cold drink. Let me have a chat to him so you're making some noise. So I walked across the road. This is 2 o'clock in the morning, cold winter. To go and speak to these ladies, and they firstly wanted to have sex with me. So I'm not interested in all in female hookers. It's not even, I'm not interested in that. And so I had to just explain to them I'm not interested
so
in any
how did
sex.
You? How did you?
I'm just, why? Or I'm why,
curious.
Alan?
No, hang on. I'm just curious how this happens.
Why don't I have sex?
You say you say first they wanted to have sex with me.
Yes, they thought I was coming to get them.
How does that happen?
Well, they firstly asked me, would I like to join them? And all three of them would do an orgy for me. And so I was like, no, I'm not interested. And I said,
Alan, they don't do it for you. They do it with you.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Part of the orgy is with you. You'd have to expose your nether regions as well.
I can promise you, Alan's never been in a three-woman orgy. So this is all very new to him.
Never. It's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. Yeah. It's one of those things you just know.
It's not your thing.
Not going to be there. So I first had to explain, and what is was very. She looked ugly. She looked like she was from the Cape Flats, but
she was not very nice of you.
No teeth.
And
the other two were very pretty. Yeah? The other two could have been Miss South Africa contestants.
Okay,
they probably are.
But they're loud and obnoxious, and you know, like a hooker would.
Loud and obnoxious, sure. They could be a bit high and drunk. So I took a couple of cold drinks. Well, got to be careful how you say Coke now.
Yeah.
Hooker's Coke, it's not great. I was in rehab.
Be a hell of a night for you.
So I took a couple of cold drinks, a couple of Mars bars, and walked across the street just to be polite. And I said, listen, do you mind? It's very noisy. Can you keep it down? So firstly, they wanted to jump my bones.
Yeah.
And I wasn't interested, obviously.
How did you dissuade them from that? Did you say to them straight up, like, I'm gay, I'm not interested in...
I did. I said, I'm not interested, I'm gay. I don't know, I want men. No. I said, no, they can convert me, they're so sexy. I thought, ooh, no.
They can convert you, they're so sexy.
I thought to myself, they go, Stabani. I thought to myself, this would have been this would have converted me if I was straight.
All right.
To homosexuality. But this, and so I said, listen, ladies, do you mind, please, keeping it down?
Did you point to your apartment and say, that's where I live, it's very loud?
They still wanted to come into the apartment, or they wanted to come into the block.
Of course, it's cold.
It's one of the nicest addresses in South Africa.
Yeah, but it's cold.
Correct, of course.
You just told us.
And it's cold. Well, and now, no doubt they're wearing skimpy outfits because that's how they pick up their clientele. So they're probably freezing. They want to come into your apartment.
And the one flashed her vajayjay at me.
Yeah.
She said, have a look at my one. And I'm like, no, I don't want that one. Thank you. But I'm not.
Have a look at my
asking
one.
For your services. I'm asking you.
Look at my one.
And the one's touching me like this. And I'm not interested in this. And I'm asking, what is it with me and hookers? Like, I mean, really, do I have to? So I'm like, please, if you don't mind.
Man.
In the end, they want to come into the. I said that you can't come to the apartment. They'll give me a special discount. I don't want a discount.
Yeah.
I ended up having. I want to try to get these ladies for your show because they would be fascinating. Actually,
well, go ahead. Let's see how they are. They still there? You didn't manage to get them to.
They're still there. They're still there. And then there's a group that now when they're not there off, they walk up and they work on the next corner, the corner opposite them. So I've got this noise going on, and it's quite...
It's like in stereo. So they
scream at each other.
You've got stereo hookers.
I don't need television. I could just... That's generations right there on my corners.
Yeah, they must have some stories there, sure.
And so I want to know. Here's the questions, though. The questions are, who is visiting these people? If you know, if you're visiting them at 2 o'clock in the morning when it's curfew, I'd love to know who's... And how they still... And how they do that in winter? Aren't they cold?
Mm.
I mean, it's a hard life. It's minus 2 degrees.
You know, this is a really hard life. And, you know, I suppose them chatting to each other at high volume is probably the most annoying thing to you. But you think about it, like, that's their off time. They're probably, like, just grateful that at that point they don't have to be climbing on top of some lazy fat guy and having sex with him. Or, you know, it's probably the worst thing for them. I mean... They're standing out on the street, but that's at least they're not working at that moment. Or maybe they'd prefer to be working. It would be warm and they get money for it.
The real solution here, Alan, is maybe we get your landlords to put in some double glazing windows, and then we don't have this problem. You just close the window and get the aircon going.
You know that the thing is that they're just very, very loud. And they're loud. They're talking to each other across the street. They're fighting.
Oh, they fight?
Of course they have. They're territory people. It's opposition. You know, it's like a client. It's opposition across the road. I don't know what to tell you.
It's
but
territory.
All I know is that the noise hasn't stopped. They are still, and I don't know what to do now.
Yeah, well,
I've been here now for 5 months.
Corona's Boring says, It's probably the police visiting them during curfew. That's probably right. I mean, you know, they put
probably as well, because I peep out the window sometimes to see what's going on, because it's like a movie.
And then a lot of people talking about the rehab, and people saying that AA, Robbins, is a bit of a boys' club and full of losers. A lot of people saying that they've had good experiences in rehab. And then this one from Robin, says, sex addiction is the worst. Sis, what do you think is the worst? Because who gets judged the highest? You said it was what the people on
heroin.
Heroin. Heroin's the worst, right? Everybody looks down on the heroin addict.
No, but to be honest with you, at that stage, the cheaper the drug, the more addictive, the more you in, the more you, you know, the more rubbish. So it's hard. It's all hard to get off. It's the same program for everybody, by the way.
Right.
It's food from right down. This is for everybody. So I want to comment on Robin. It works. Can I tell you something? It works because you make the program work for you. And thousands, hundreds of millions of people throughout the world use this program. It's used in majority, I think 90% of our rehab facilities in South Africa use these, or hospitals as well, that use the 12-step program. Mm-hmm. There's a fellowship. It's not a boys' club.
We know it works. We know it's helped many people. It doesn't help everybody. And nothing is foolproof, but it works.
It does work if you make it work. It's a program for the – this is not – you don't start thinking that in a year's time or in 6 months' time – Your addiction's gone. It is a disease. It's a mental illness. You've got to understand that this is a disease. There's a rewiring that happens in your brain.
Yeah.
From it, and new pathways that change in your brain. So I just – obviously someone had a bad experience with it, but yeah.
Here's an interesting point from Lindy Dooley. She says Nyaupe is the worst. I think that's probably about right. But those people hardly ever even make it a rehab.
So now, Alan, full on, because abstinence is the key, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I think for those who've dabbled far too much in things, are you thinking of going like full on? So for me, whenever I tell people I quit drinking, first question they ask me, are you Christian? And I go, get the hell out of my face. Do you think you're going to go full on?
Like super religious.
Christian preacher guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like only through God is this possible. Do you think you might become that guy? Cause you're brilliant at sort of marketing, and you're an awesome personality for the few times I've met you. You could spin a whole yarn there. Maybe a business opportunity, Alan. I'm thinking start your own church. Through me, you can recover.
Alan would start a really interesting church. I think it would be very good. I might go to that church. It would be hell of a funny.
Yeah, well, I tell you about the 12-step program.
You're already a religious guy. I mean, you come from a Lebanese family. You guys, you grew up religious, you know, Maronite Christian.
Yeah, I love God. If I'm not wrong.
Yeah, and so you don't have to suddenly convert. But, you know, a lot of people replace one addiction with another, right? So what they do is they go from drinking to drugs, or they go from drugs to religion, or they go from religion to sex or to gambling or any of those things.
Mm. So let's just put something – it's just called cross-addicting. People do that. You in the program, you watch it, stuff like that. You watch it. It doesn't manifest in sex. It doesn't manifest in something else.
Mm.
But the program does speak to a higher power. So it could be the universe, it could be the sunrise, it could be God, it could be whatever you put into your space. It is in the program. It's just your third step. Second and third step looks at finding, because you can't do this alone. You see, let's keep something in mind. This is not someone having a drink or half a bottle of wine on a Saturday night. This is people that are fall over drugs, that are addicted to the substance.
Mm.
Let's talk about cocaine, heavy, heavy drugs here. Mm. The people. So I'm an alcoholic, and I was only drinking 4 days a week. But 4 days was enough to classify me. I never drank in the day. You have to stay away from this for forever. And you have to pray the serenity prayer. Speaks to this, God, grant me. You know, it's things that you need to speak to. So you do have to put something else in your into your life, and people do it, and it's a part of the program. Millions and millions of people in this country have been.
Some nice comments. I mean, Anushka's saying, listen, thank you for sharing your story, Al. All the strength to you in your journey. A lot of people who really appreciate the fact that you talk about this. Michael's saying, however, and I think this is an interesting point because this came up yesterday during our This Is Us. The AA never lets you go or lets you out. It leads you to believe you're condemned for life to be addicted to coffee, cigarettes, and the Christ Club, or whatever else it is. This is true for so many areas of our lives, like climate change and inequality, and they become religious cults. They become religious questions, because what happens is it's the essence of sadomasochism. You are created sick and commanded to be well. Do you know what I mean? Like you're given the problem. You're always an addict. You're always fighting this thing. So it has a religious nature to it, which is why so many people find themselves in Bulelo, directed in a religious way.
I think we've got to just say that it's not just the AA program. You've got Narcotics Anonymous, Sex Addiction Anonymous, SAA. You've got Cocaine Anonymous. They follow the same rules or some of the same principles. But there are different organizations.
Yeah.
So you're not dealing with...
I want to wrap it up because we can talk about this some more, but we've got to get to headlines. I thank God every day that I have the personality I have, because, oh my God, I hate being in a club. I mean, I even joined a business, a whole lot of entrepreneurs. It was like I went to Silicon Valley and we all kind of got together in meetings afterwards. It was like an AA for business, but not like a, you know, destructive AA, a constructive AA. So there's a whole bunch of really impressive people who would get together and share their stories about business. I went to one meeting and I wanted to kill myself. There's no way I'd be able to survive in AA. Not a chance. I actually can't stand these things where people put you in a program or in a club or you have to share your story, or it's just so boring to me. I don't know how you manage.
Now you've got to, this is what you've got to do, and this is going to put it quite simply. Do you want to be a person that has lost their finances, their life, their family, their children, their health, or do you want to go into a system or into a program, okay, that is going to restore all that back to you? So you
that might, that might. It you, doesn't always work. That, that, it might.
No, of course it doesn't. But it's got. Listen, there is nothing else out there.
Mm.
This is what there is.
I get you.
And yeah. Some people, very few people can just stop without the therapeutic. Mm. There's a lot of therapy that goes into why you did what you did. And there's no, and you have to go into a place to stop completely. You know, someone said to me, we never knew you had a problem. What made you go? And why did you have to stay?
Yeah.
Because I needed the tools to unlearn the behavior.
Right.
I need the tools to understand.
Okay.
I'm still going to do it.
Listen,
Alan, I wish you the best on your journey, because it's a hell of a thing, you know? It's a hell of a thing. I think I've been where you are, and I don't know your circumstances, but I truly wish you the best.
Yeah, Bulelo used to be a massive drunk, right?
Oh, delinquent, yeah. Oh. But I stopped 8 years ago, Al, 2013. So I wish you the best, because it takes a hell of a – you know, everybody talks about wanting to do stuff. People don't get going. You got to get going in life. So at least you're getting going. So.
All right.
Can I ask you this question?
We don't want to go into Mbulelo's boring story with alcohol. Really, it's just so boring. No one cares. All right. But what I want to talk about –
a middle-class kid is fine.
So I'll ask you
– my story is a middle-class kid is fine.
And you're fine now. Like, who gives a shit?
No, I'm a middle-class kid who's fine. It's very boring, yeah. It's very boring.
All these people sharing their stories. Oy, oy, oy. All right, so listen, I'm going to ask you to choose one headline here. You only get to choose one, Alan. You're our guest this morning, so you get to choose.
Okay.
Do you want to know about Ace Magashule? Do you want to know about Jeff Bezos? Do you want to know about Kanye West? Or do you want to know about Durban? Four things.
Ooh, it's interesting. I tell you something. Well, the Kanye West story is about the name change.
Correct.
So that's just stupid. He's an idiot.
So he's just changed his name to Ye. We don't need to know more than that.
Yay for what? Hooray, yep. Whatever. Move on in your life. But what is happening in Durban? Because Durban's a bit of a mess.
So first of all, we had Makosi Khoza on the other day, who we love, right? Makosi Khoza is the one with big Tina Turner hair, and she's with Herman Mashaba now in his political party, Action SA. And I saw posters of hers up in Umhlanga. I was there over the weekend. But Durban's beaches are closed and have been closed since the rioting and looting. And people are starting to worry, like, when are they going to open these up again? Businesses and community members are worried about the closure of Durban North beaches following the UPL disaster. During the anarchy in July, a UPL warehouse in Cornubia was torched, causing a dangerous spillage that has affected the seawater. With no indication on whether the beaches will be reopened during the festive season, people are concerned. To be honest, a holidaymaker is not going to spend a fortune to come down to the coast for a holiday when they can't actually enjoy the water. They'll find somewhere else to go, said one business owner who runs a restaurant in Umhlanga Beach. It's been a long time since the beaches were closed. We can't swim here. We can't put our kids in the water here. So it's been a negative thing. And we hope that we'll get resolution soon so we can go back to the beach, said a resident. But it seems we haven't got an answer yet. They're apparently testing the water. So who knows?
So my parents moved to Umhlanga in May. Mm-hmm. And it's been fascinating for them because they said as they got there, it snowed in Durban. They had a riot. They had... they had COVID, okay. Their beaches are closed and the seas you can't touch. So it's we don't know if my parents should have gone to Durban. That's a whole story.
That's a pretty awful. That's a hell of a welcome for them, huh?
It's a hell of a welcome for them. Yeah. I mean, it's been insane. But here's the thing: there is toxic chemicals in that river still that is still seeped into the sand Umhloti and Umhlanga beach
Do you know what's funny is I discovered years ago, someone who lives there said to me, oh, you know that estuary where the Umhlanga River flows into the sea, which is why it's called Umhlanga, because it's next to the Umhlanga River, right? Apparently, that is a nude beach. So I just want to put out a warning to everybody who goes to that nude beach. Don't let your stuff dangle in the sand, because you might end up with, you know, toxic genitalia or something. You've got to be super careful.
Burn your pee-pee off.
That's exactly right. Okay. Got some other important stuff to get to. So that's the only headline we got time for this morning.
But can I ask one other thing, Gareth? One other thing about this headline. I am perplexed by the fact that on a major river going upstream, downstream, there was that chemical company. These people have caused – I understand the riots burnt the factory, the rioters. But Gareth, do you know that there's some investigations to be done here because that company was not meant to have those chemicals.
Yeah. Yeah.
They weren't allowed to be at that river. And – I mean, they should be hauled over the coals.
Yeah. You've got to be responsible if you're going to have a chemical factory on a major river. Look, it's there's so many places that just – I don't know who they bribe to get their licenses to go into operation. But we are the Wild West in South Africa. No one – you think there's an inspector going around checking our rivers for chemical factories? There's not a chance. This country is just – whatever you pay for, you get. Doesn't matter what.
No, I can't do the checks, man. Yeah. When I go to Ethekwini, it's very sticky there.
We had Zandile Gumede in charge of Durban. This is a woman who has been, she's had criminal charges laid against her, which are still pending. She should be in jail, as far as I can tell. But this is the woman who used to sign those forms. You think she cares if there's a chemical factory as long as she's getting her backhand? Please.
We understand government is useless half the time. They really are. They're 43 municipalities. They're termed ineffective this week.
Yeah.
That's how pathetic they are. Come on. Pathetic. You know you're pathetic. You idiots.
All right. So what
about this, the business? Good business.
We've got to change this this tack quickly because there's a big reason to talk to Revix this morning. Bitcoin is trading at $63,956, almost $64,000, new highs from Bitcoin. If you even have a fraction of Bitcoin, you are thinking the world is going your way today. You're just having the best week ever. And lots of our audience do. I'm a big believer in Bitcoin. Now, we usually speak to Sean Sanders, the co-founder of Revix. This week, though, we're going to talk to an associate of Sean's, a guy called Brett Hope Robertson. He's the lead investment analyst at Revix because Sean is busy traveling this week. Hey, Brett, how are you, man?
How's it, guys? How's the team? Thanks so much for having me on.
Cool. Nice to have you on. It's always good to have Sean on every week, and I usually joke with him that when we talk to him, things are going well in Bitcoin. But, man, if you're the lucky charm, then what a lucky charm you are. It's a pretty good week for cryptocurrencies, right?
Yeah, Gareth, it's been a crazy month even or two in the crypto space. There really is never a dull moment in crypto. I mean, think about it. A month back, we were speaking about a China ban. People were panicking that this was the end. We were losing a big crypto market. Mm-hmm. And crypto went down, Bitcoin went down to about 39,000.
Right.
And fast forward 1 month, we've got the first ever Bitcoin futures ETF trading on the New York Stock Exchange and Bitcoin about to break all-time highs.
It's amazing.
It's like everything gets kind of swept under the rug.
Well, let's talk about this all-time high, almost $65,000 for a Bitcoin. So where do you think it's going from here? I mean, is this a good time to cash out? For a lot of people, they've quadrupled or even more their money. And they're looking at it now going, you know what, I've done pretty well. Maybe it's time to pull out.
Mm-hmm. I would say history says that's kind of not the best idea right now. Normally, for where we currently are in the crypto cycle, and that being going into the last quarter of the year, mainly October, November, December, mm-hmm. it's normally a very bullish quarter for crypto. We saw it in 2013 in December, all-time highs are reached. 2017 in December, all-time highs are reached. And then we kind of had this pullback in Jan and Feb.
Yeah.
But dare I say it, this year, I know these words are uttered in financial areas that are not looked upon well, is I think this time could be a little different. And I think the reason is we could go a little bit longer. We could go into Jan, into Feb.
Hmm.
And the reason behind this is the Bitcoin ETF. This is now this investment vehicle where these industries, large institutions, pension funds, retirement annuities now can get regulated access to this asset class. So we could see a wall of institutional money start to come into this space. But what people are misunderstanding is that that doesn't happen overnight. It's not going to happen yesterday at open trading. It's not going to happen yesterday when these instos can start to add funds and allocate.
Right.
These funds need to go through committees on committees on committees to try get new asset allocation approved. And we're already in Q4 of the year. So I think we could see this allocation come in Q1, January. Mm-hmm. And if that does happen, I think we get a little bit of a leg up and we see an extra little bull run into January, February. With regards to like price of where we think Bitcoin is going to go, I mean, there's models out there that say 100,000, 200,000, 250,000. This is dollars.
Sure.
By the end of the year. Who knows, really? I do think all I can say is that we're in for a very, very exciting into the year and possibly January, Feb.
All right. Well, I mean, again, we've just got to make sure that people know you're not construing financial advice to us here, but this is all about it's all about what's generally happening. With all this bullish news, why hasn't Ethereum moved as much as Bitcoin? What's going on there?
Yeah, so this is interesting, and you're absolutely correct. Like in the last month, Bitcoin's up 36% now, yeah. And Ethereum's only up about 17%, so it's underperformed by about 19%. And this is actually quite a common thing in the market. And to understand kind of what's happening here, you kind of have to understand crypto money flows. And basically what a crypto money flow is just explaining the flow of funds from one investment to another in the crypto space. So we see this bullish news, this positive news come into the market. And a lot of people that don't know much about crypto want to get in and they want to get exposure. And how do they do this? Well, they go to the biggest, the longest standing, the safest, the most reputable cryptocurrencies. So they go to Bitcoin.
Right.
And they buy a little chunk to be part of it, right? So we see this flow of money come into Bitcoin first and the price starts to shoot up. But what's fascinating is what happens when that Bitcoin starts to run its course, it starts to cool off a little bit. We see all these investors that have made now money on Bitcoin wanting to shift it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, what do they kind of do? They kind of shift themselves further down the risk curve, shall we say, to an asset that's a little bit more risky.
Yeah.
And that's namely pretty much ETH.
Yeah.
So you'll start to see as Bitcoin cools off, and I think now with this ETF news kind of gone through past, I think we might see Bitcoin kind of cool off a little bit in the next few weeks and people start shifting their capital into Ethereum. And then you'll see that underperformance gap start to close.
Yeah, because Ethereum's at, what, 3,800. So it's not terrible, but it's not where it could be. What about the others? Like, you know, you guys opened up new products recently, Cardano and Solana. How are they looking by comparison with Bitcoin?
Yeah, so they are also lagging. So these large cap altcoins is what we call it.
Mm.
ETH, we just kind of use as the proxy for that. But they're all roughly in the same lag as ETH to Bitcoin. And it's the same consensus. What you see is when people don't want to miss out on this Bitcoin ETF news, this run. When that starts to cool off, they will automatically start to pull into ETH. Now, as you rightly said, it's an interesting time now. Normally, ETH was the proxy straight in. Now you've got the Cardanos, you've got the Polkadots, you've got the Solanas, and it becomes your choice. Do you want Ethereum, which is obviously the big daddy in that space, or do you want the Solana, the new kid on the block, doing 10x the transaction speed?
Okay.
That's going to be an interesting dynamic to see kind of where the capital gets allocated from that point. But from a normal investor standpoint, ETH would be the proxy first, then would go into like a Solana,
okay,
Cardano after.
All right, so you guys have got a promotion launching this week. You've had new promotions almost every week. It's fantastic. Can you tell us a little bit about this and why people might want to get involved? It's always good.
Yeah, so as you know, this week, ending on the 21st of October, we still got the Bitcoin buy free. And from Friday this week, the 22nd of October to the 28th, one whole week, we're actually going to shift that to Ethereum. Hmm. All fiat purchases on Ethereum will be free. And the reason behind this is we kind of want to play on this role that the news is out the way. Try get into Ethereum. What's the best way to do that? Free on RevX. Before it catches up to Bitcoin.
Fantastic. All right, go along to revx.com. It's easy to do. You sign up for free, you verify your ID, and you can add as much or as little as you want. You don't have to add 10,000 Rand or 100,000 Rand. You can go in with 500 or 1,000. And then just at least you have some skin in the game. So while all your friends and family are it's just gone over 64,000, by the way. While your friends and family are talking about Bitcoin going up and they're going to buy a new house in the Seychelles, you can say, oh, well, I can buy a TV. You know, something like that. Get involved. Thank you very much, Brett. Nice to see you. By the way, people think you look like Matt Damon's little brother.
I was going to say.
No, Tracy says.
No, he looks exactly. Like, is that how Sean employs guys down there? Are you incredibly good looking and can I put you on a movie screen?
All right, very good. Very, very good. All right, dude, have a nice day. Thanks very much. Where's Sean traveling, by the way?
He's off to Italy.
Oh, nice. Okay, you see, that's what happens.
Nice life.
That's what happens when you invest in crypto, everybody. You've got to go to Italy on holiday. All right, very nice, Brett. Good to see you. Cheers, man.
Cool, man.
Bye-bye. Sure. Al, you got any crypto?
I bought some Bitcoin at about $30. And sadly, at $30. And $30,000. I bought it for $30,000. Sadly, I sold at about $34,000. So, stupid me. But do you know what? It was something that I didn't understand it at first because I was one of those guys that thought, how can you create a currency out of nothing? But which sounds like a bit of a pyramid scheme, basically. Think about it.
I hate to tell you, when it first happened, most of our currencies are just made of nothing.
All money is nothing. Yeah.
It's
a flow of energy, correct? And that's just, and it's so interesting. So I only wish that that I had I kept it because I actually was thinking about it in the shower the other day. I thought, gee, imagine having one coin. I mean, that is close to it's a million.
It's
rand.
It's a million rand now. Yeah, if you'd bought one Bitcoin at any stage of this, you'd now have $1 million in value. Mm. It's incredible.
And so I'm seriously thinking of giving them a call today. Actually, I really am.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen to this quickly. This is an email I got from Matthew, and he was talking about the Emmys, which are now a couple of days ago. But he says, I know you have no interest in Hollywood and the way it celebrates itself, but I had to share this with you, and I'm hoping it'll enrage you enough as it did me to warrant a vent on the show. Gillian Anderson won an award, an Emmy, for her superb performance of Margaret Thatcher in The Crown, right? We spoke about Margaret Thatcher on the show yesterday, and she's also one of the first episodes of Blind History. So she was asked in a press conference, this is Gillian Anderson who played Margaret Thatcher, someone said to her in the press conference, had you ever talked to Thatcher about this role at all? The reporter was – now, this reporter is a moron, okay, because Margaret Thatcher died in 2013. There is no way that Gillian Anderson knew she was going to play Margaret Thatcher at any stage. Plus, Margaret Thatcher had dementia from about 2003-04. So there's no way she would have sat down and talked to Gillian Anderson about how to play her. And this reporter still has a job.
What a prick.
What a stupid person. You know, this again, where you have no excuse. These machines allow you to Google anything. You can look up Margaret Thatcher, but this idiot reporter at the Emmys, who's clearly like just there because they know something about celebrities and know nothing about anything else. So, yes, Matthew, that's a bit of a rant from me. I get so furious when I see willful ignorance. I don't mind if you just don't know something because you've never been that interested in it, or you genuinely are living in a hole. But if you're an entertainment reporter and you're going to ask a question like that, you have no excuse to make a fool of yourself and your network like that. I can't believe it. Anyway, I was surprised that Gillian Anderson didn't point out the obvious oversight. But anyway, I mean, maybe she didn't even know that Margaret Thatcher died in 2013. Who knows? The main angle of the reporter's question that appeared to be angled at the lack of female presidents in the U.S. And she was looking for Anderson's opinion as an actress. It's just madness. So Matthew pointing out some dumb stuff in the media. It's not like you have to look far and wide to find that, though.
She was very good, though, in the role. Huh?
No. I haven't seen it, but no, it stems terrific. From the society we're building. Is, yeah. By the way, there are like people are idiots. Like I always say to people, you know, in my family, I'm the idiot in my family. It's very clear from our academic achievements. It's okay to be not as smart as other people. And it's because you can't tell people in Hollywood that they're idiots. Like that reporter is stupid. Like we still need to be able to say people are stupid, but we can't say it anymore, you know?
Please. Anyway,
it's tough.
Anyway, so a couple of other things that we've got to get to in the next hour, and we're going to speak to Prof Szabo later on about a new show that we're launching on Cliff Central. You know what? We're doing some I don't like to blow our own horn here, but I think we're doing some really cool stuff, and especially in the area of mental health. Now, we're going to have Professor Christopher Paul Szabo on. Now, he is somebody who really knows a hell of a lot about the world of psychiatry, not just general mental health or psychology or therapy or any of that stuff. And October is Mental Health Awareness Month, so we're going to start something brand new today at 11 a.m., and we'll find out all about that with Professor Christopher Paul Szabo. And all of that's coming up in the next while. We'll also talk to Alan Ford, who's our guest on the show this morning. We've got Bulelo. We're going to have to find out about all the things that are happening in everybody's lives and what's happening in yours. If you've got anything you want to tell us, just send me an email, gareth@cliffcentral.com, or you can comment live on YouTube while we're doing that. It is 7 o'clock. Good morning. Cliffcentral.com.